Part 26, Chapter 5. Johnny ducked under the door beam to enter the passage to his room, and a wave of dizziness hit him. So far, in trying to handle the dam, he had carried himself along on willpower, and he had pushed the feeling aside. But now, with worry about Edinburgh and Chrissy, he felt he was not in very good condition to handle much of anything. He had taken quite a battering these last couple of days. He was not prepared for what he found in the passage just outside his room. There were four people there, and they were working on things he couldn't quite make out. They had low benches, they were sitting on the floor, their heads were down, and their hands were flying.
Oh!
Mr. Tsung sensed his presence and bobbed up from the floor. He bowed.
Lord Johnny, meet my wife.
The second person, a gray-haired Chinese woman with a kindly face, bobbed up, smiled, bowed. Johnny bowed. It made his head feel bad. The woman popped down and went right back to work.
Meet my daughter,
said Mr. Tsung. The third person bobbed up, bowed. The daughter was a very beautiful Chinese girl, very delicate. She wore a flower in her hair. Johnny bowed. It made his head feel worse. The girl sat down and went frantically back to work.
Meet my son-in-law.
A good-looking Chinese bobbed up from his bench with a clatter. He bowed. He was in the blue work uniform the mechanics wore. Johnny bowed very slightly so the room wouldn't spin. The young man popped down, and sparks again flew from his tools. Johnny looked at them. They were working dedicatedly and with near ferocity on whatever they were doing. Johnny felt a pang of sorrow. If this conference failed and if they lost, what suffering would await these decent people? These and the rest of the 35,000 that were all that remained of the human race. He could not face the prospect of letting them down. He went into his room. Somebody else had used those 2 hours. Angus, probably, and an electrician. A rack with three view screens now stood against the wall beyond the foot of his bed. A button camera had been placed in the ops room for one screen, and he could see the huddled groups there, faces strained as they handled microphones and drone pictures and the operations board. Another button camera was trained on the conference room to broadcast to the second screen. The conference room was empty. The third button camera was on the platform and console and served the third screen. Even as he looked, the Tolnep emissary arrived. He was in shimmering green. Even his cap was green. But he had on dirty blue boots. Huge glasses hid his eyes. He carried a sort of scepter with a large knob at the top and a green hamper on green wheels for his food and supplies. A reptilian creature, although he walked upright and had a face and arms and legs. A genetic line from dinosaurs that had become miniature and sentient? He made his speech, much like the Hockner, accepted the reply with an evil smile, folded his shimmering green cloak about his steel-hard body, and was led away to a private apartment. He looked like trouble. Johnny was about to throw himself down on the bed when he was suddenly obstructed. Mr. Tsung had followed him in.
No, no,
said Mr. Tsung.
Bath.
Two Chinese had followed Mr. Tsung in. They had a steaming bath sitting on a mine dolly, which they pushed to an empty spot on the floor before vanishing.
I happen to be just about exhausted,
said Johnny in protest.
I will just wash my face.
Mr. Tsung slid around in front of him with a mirror.
Look,
demanded Mr. Tsung.